I want to take you back for a moment to that movie that, again, was duplicated this morning. The second anointing was even more severe. And I'm referring to the movie about St. Paul. And part of the coordinates that was pretty outstanding was the jailer who is watching over St. Paul and giving permission to St. Luke to visit on a daily basis, and even being basically, you know, stretching his authority to let this happen. And his wife and his little girl, who is about 11, 12 years old, is dying. And he's conferring with the people that he knows because he wants this little girl to live. And constantly being told by the officials of his religion that he makes more sacrifices, that he goes to the temple and he sacrifices to his God, and his God is going to answer and his little girl will come back to life, or come back to health, I should say, not life. She's not dead yet, but she's very close. And at one point in the movie, conference that the jailer is having with St. Paul is, well, you know, Luke is a physician and he's a good one. And he probably would be the instrument that would help to bring your little girl back to health. Well, he says, if I let anybody in my house, he said, my religious leaders will cast me out. And I thought, whoa. You know, I'm thinking of the Jews not letting any Gentile in their house, but they've got the same rule. But then you see him having an argument with his wife, and she is so angry. And she said, you know, you went off to war here, and you went off to war over there, and here the only hope that I have for tomorrow is this little girl. She is my everything, and you're allowing her to die. And, you know, you're not doing your fatherly job. You're not, you know, offering up enough sacrifices, et cetera, et cetera. And you see him in the next scene where he now is dedicating himself to a next level. And that next level, you see animal parts on the ground just for a second. And then he's got this great big bowl. And he lifts it up before the demon spirit, that there's big eyes, there's flashing light coming down. And it's obviously a big idol in some huge temple. And then you see the top of that bowl and it's blood. And what does he do with it? He literally pours it on top of his own head, and you see it dripping all over. And then, of course, he has to cleanse himself. But you don't see that aspect. You just see him go back to the house, and the little girl is worse. So now the mother is very angry, and he makes the final decision, because she said, if that little girl dies and it's your fault, and you, more or less, she's aware that there are options, but he doesn't want to make the option. He yells to one of his guards, go get that Greek, meaning the physician, and allows him to come into the house. And of course, the end result is that the little girl comes back to health, but it takes several days. And the Lord, you know, was working on me like he does with all of us. And there are pieces to the puzzle that we don't comprehend. And, you know, we trust, because St. Paul had given him the knowledge about the blood of Jesus, and that the blood of Jesus made us all righteous, And at some point, he said, I know you are going to taste the awareness that the Father in heaven loves you beyond understanding. And when that happens, it's going to be a personal recognition that God is on the job for you, specifically for your life and for your children or your family, etc. And you see him tear up. And he kind of walks away and puts his hand on St. Paul's shoulder. And of course, Paul has those shackles on his wrists and the chains. And you see him leave. He's caught between breaking the rules of his religion and watching his little girl come back to life with this, you know, dedicated doctor who's also a believer. And so as the Holy Spirit was pressing, he brought me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, verse 1, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, or the good news of God. The gospel of the promise beforehand through his prophet in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Scripture, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to be in obedience that come to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, calling you and I to be saints is a whole different category, because again, it's not instantaneous. It's a calling. It's a progression. Sanctification comes, yes, you are made holy and you are made a saint, but it's in namesake. But experientially, it's a whole different package. And so I would like to make sure that you keep that in mind to go forward in obedience to the Lord. Then he says in verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness. How constantly I remember you in my prayer at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts. Put a circle around verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That's what happens today. Amen. You're being encouraged to face death and not to fear it. To recognize that there are things that he's going to allow to die, and that it is for the ultimate great purpose of you being his and his reality, his mind, his emotions, his entire headship becomes yours. Yes, Lord.
Headship.
Remember, is it okay to share your vision?
Sure.
This morning she was in my office and she said that she had two visions, and both of them implied someone being beheaded. The first one, I forgot what it was, but the second one was a rope.
This first one was a guillotine.
A guillotine, correct. And so I said to her, have you considered that this person needs to lose their head? And once they put on Christ, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. But how long is it going to take before you and I lose our heads? Is it something that happens like the guillotine? No. I would say it's more like the rope that tightens and tightens and tightens until you and I give up. And we say, Father, have your way. Let your plan unfold. Not my plan. I'm not going to be the savior because I tried it and I really don't do it such a hot job. Okay? But when I let you take over, which we were speaking about Bob and the miracle that happened, and our prayer was, let your plan unfold. Well, his plan was already in action when we made the prayer. And, you know, my sister lost her night's sleep because she was anxious but didn't know how to rest. How many times has the Lord showed you, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go. Let it go. And I want to say, I want to help you, Lord. The gift and the miracle yesterday for me was to just be able to say, okay, she's going to make out. It's going to be okay. Leave it alone. She doesn't need your help. But the old me would have went up there and I would have straightened out the whole house. And I would have created a new division between my wife and I. Right?
Amen.
What she prayed in the Holy Ghost, every demonic principality that was trying to interfere was dealt with by her words and the angel of the Father, and I truly believe it was a superior angel that came in and brought peace. And she identified it, and we didn't discuss it this morning because I didn't have time, but I will. You know, there's always a day when God will prepare something and you'll say, oh my God, I misunderstood. And an awakening happens. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And it takes time for that to go on. Okay? It takes time because we sometimes are in a hurry. We want it done yesterday in our way. Got it? 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you. Woo-hoo! Just as I have had among the other Gentiles. Isn't that incredible? Harvesting. Sometimes planting the seeds, like I shared a few times about my potato patch. And the kids expect the fruits to be on the outside, and they're hidden under the dirt. 14. I am obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Yes. Sometimes we are wise, sometimes we're foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm adding that because the Amplified has that. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith. And if you haven't got that underlined, you should. It's by faith that you are righteous. It's not always by actions. I wanted it to be done by actions. But God said, relax, kiddo. It's already done. But believe for it. From the first to the last, Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Well, if you and I are living by faith, that's not by actions. Actions will be sometimes added to it to confirm your faith. And he'll tell you to do something that doesn't always make sense. 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities and his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, in verse 19, I want to go back. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, and in the Amplified it says, in their inner consciousness. When you and I are aware in our consciousness that something awesome is taking place, it's more than a brain piece of knowledge. A piece of knowledge can be, oh my God, I'm finally awake. But the reality of what God has already planned is far deeper. So, keeping that in mind, your inner man will have an awareness sometimes. And I can say that my conversation with you on that word that came, I was right across the street from the burial plot where my dad is in the ground, his flesh. And I was really in a place where recognizing that when I don't have inside of me an awareness that my plans are being changed on a daily basis, my awareness of what he's doing with me is totally different than my expectations. Because my expectations are usually this mindset that goes on, oh, I've been told a word, and then I want to apply it my way, right? Come on up. So when I apply it my way, what happens?
Well, things that you don't want to happen.
It fails.
Usually, it's the biggest blunder you could call for, because you can see that it was done by flesh.
Chase your tail.
Huh?
You chase your tail. In circles.
Chase your tail. You chase your tail. Okay.